Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I am the storm, brother. The first storm and the last. And you're in my way.
Hi. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls who are not here, because if you are a parent, you know that our show contains adult themes and you've got a sitter. Welcome to the first ever live recording of Storm of Spoilers on the West Coast. You are here. All right, so the first announcement is, thank you. That wasn't hyperbole earlier. Like, you guys are actually making history tonight. We have taken this live show to a few different events around the country. Con of Thrones is really, really fun, but we have never done a standalone at a theater, sold tickets, booked a venue. Like, this is actually a first ever, and you guys are here. You're doing it. You really are making history for us, so thank you so much for being here. I know you, few of you guys came from, who here is like from San Francisco? Who's repping home base here? Yeah, okay. Whoa. Awesome. Who here is from like the greater realm, like Marin, East Bay? No, Oakland? Thank you. Okay, come on. I'm from Oakland. Okay. Who here drove like more than 2 or 3 hours to get here? Did anybody fly? Yeah. Thank you guys so much. You deserve some credit for that. Thank you. I think that's it. Okay. So without any further ado, please help me welcome to the stage Joanna Robinson, Dave Gonzalez, and Neil
Dreamed of spring, Robin Aaron, safely from the vale. Milk made you strong, Robin Aaron. We knew you would prevail. You might not have been the best warrior. If you were a fighter, you'd die. Don't send a raven or courier. Just hide and make Batman fly. Out the moon door, a hole in the floor. You can't shut it, no need to Hodor. You were Littlefinger's secret son. You sometimes were cruel, but were fun. Today, the series is done. The good boys are alive. Ghost, Drogon, and Robin Aaron.
Hello, and welcome to A Storm of Spoilers. My name is Dave Gonzalez, and I have not read any of the books in George R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire series.
My name is Joanna Robinson. I've read every book in George R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire series.
And I'm Neil Miller, and I've read all the books in George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire series.
Oh, yeah. And you are listening to the final episode of Storm of Spoilers. We will not be dividing this into storm or calm sections because there's nothing left to spoil, really. Except maybe we know what happened to Arya's horse. And if you don't want to know those things, then you're fine. You're in the wrong place. But that's cool. We're going to roll with it. We're going to have a lot of fun this evening. If you guys aren't subscribers at patreon.com/stormofspoilers, there is one more Game of Thrones relevant small council episode coming out this Thursday. And then on Friday, we continue becoming the Storm, a Lost rewatch podcast, which is split into Calm and Storm sections in case this is your first rewatch. But first, as we always do, Joanna, do we have any reviews?
Oh, yeah, we do. Okay, wait.
Do we need
this is the vamping part. I forgot about it. It happens even in real time.
Guys, I didn't think anyone was going to show up.
How great was
really
Diana
nervous.
On that? Also, is anyone here not a Storm of Spoilers listener? All right. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah.
Welcome.
We have gimmicks. welcome.
Also, we're doing Lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... all right, so we've got a couple reviews. Some of them were nice, so that's the ones we're reading. All right, so 5 stars, great content from iHuck36. I know any other Game of Thrones podcast where you'll... Oh, I don't know of any other Game of Thrones podcast where you'll get a Letterkenny reference and hear Fuck Me with a Chainsaw in the same episode, and that's what I appreciate about yous. So that is one review. And then the other comes from a friend of ours, Maddie, who we met at Con of Thrones last year. I don't know if you guys are coming to Con of Thrones in Nashville later this summer. There are postcards outside if you are not aware of this event, but it's a great way for us to therapeutically process what happened this season. Jamie Fulkin Lannister is going to be there.
Yeah.
Gendry Baratheon is going to be there.
Stormlord.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So sorry. Lord of the Stormlands.
All right. So this one's from Maddie, 5 stars. This is the Storm, brother, the first pod and the last. There's a lot to say about the impact of a funny podcast with 3 wonderful, engaging people leading nuanced, insightful discussion about a piece of media. I tried to get out of this, and they wouldn't let me not read reviews. Okay.
No, they're here for the reviews.
I'm skipping that part. Okay, Neil Miller's good nature never fails to brighten my week, and Dave Gonzalez has mastered the art of nerd tangents. Altogether, this creates...
Did you skip over a part about yourself?
No. altogether, this creates an amazing standard of criticism with compassion, which we all need more in the age of the discourse. A lack of smug book readers in my life for the first few seasons of Game of Thrones drove me to the internet, where I eventually found Storm of Spoilers, which became the first podcast I ever subscribed to, which eventually led me doing the podcast thing myself. Through Storm of Spoilers, I eventually found Con of Thrones, and that experience was revolutionary. So please come to Con of Thrones! Because of this pod, I found podcasting, as well as a whole host of wonderful people who I happily call friends and Slack family. And because of you 3, my life has forever changed. Thank you, dear friends. So, thank you to Maddie. Thank you to all of you for coming. This is, like, no better way to spend the end of it all. So, there you go.
Yeah, so I guess to start off the podcast before we go to Neil's Send a Raven segment, how's everybody been sleeping? We have one what and one, what was that, Neil?
What?
Yep, 2 whats. 2 whats.
Took an hour nap last night. Yeah.
You did? You had an hour nap? That happens.
Yeah.
So we're going strong.
We're excited, though.
Yeah. All right, Neil.
How have you been sleeping, Dave?
I slept great. I got like a perfect amount of sleep for me and was super energetic and got all the work done. I feel like I'm ready to do this podcast.
Great.
Or somebody's going to go to sleep. We keep
good
doing
point.
This bit.
Yeah.
We'll pull you through. Neil.
Yes.
Well, our weekly poll this week was, I feel, fairly simple.
Oh,
although it did
yes.
leave out a third candidate that was in my song.
That's fair. This was actually with the help of our super producer, Diana. This week's poll goes as follows. Now that Game of Thrones is over, it's time to make the most important choice. Who was the goodest boy? So we have 2 options, and we're going to do it by applause. We're just going to do it live here. I'm going to tell you the 2 options, and then we'll do the applause. The first one's Drogon, and the second one's Ghost.
Nymeria!
She's... No.
Not a boy.
Not a boy. Yeah.
I found that trap door for you, Neil.
Thank you. Okay, so, Drogon. He was a very good boy.
These are dog people.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, Drogon's kind of like a dog, a little bit.
Dragons are cats.
Wow. Ghost. You'll be happy to know that you matched the internet almost exactly, 71% ghost, 21% Drogon. Congratulations to both of them for living through the whole thing.
And Robin Aaron.
And Robin Aaron.
Yeah.
Which, you know, he just needed to live. I understand he's not on the poll because nobody wants to see Robin Aaron versus Ghost. I'm not a monster. But he did live, and he is Lord of the Vale. So, I mean, that's... And he's really hot now.
Yeah.
Like, everything's going in the right direction for sweet boy Robin Aaron. Basically, what we learn from both Tormund and Robin Aaron is maybe we shouldn't judge when people stop breastfeeding. If there's consensual breastfeeding going on, really, they have a statistical advantage in the Game of Thrones.
Cool. I don't have any breastfeeding takes.
Right. Well, the good news is we're going to see all three of our good boys tonight as we do our discussion of the episode. Because we're live and we have some beautiful people here to view this screen behind us, we actually have clips to further our discussion for what we call the Infinite Storm, which means we're going to talk about the episode now. Yeah. Guys, before we clip it up and check out some stuff, let's do the full impressions. One episode, we're going to take this critically. Not how the series ended, and we're not going to get there yet. This finale episode, The Iron Throne, execution takes, Neil Miller.
I mean, it was fine. I thought...
I think you're playing it cool for the audience.
It really picked...
Much more
no, I am more mixed positive. I think it picks up in the second half, after we deal with Daenerys' whole situation. I thought it was a little... we've been watching these episodes directed by Miguel Sapochnik, and they have all these really cool colors, these warm reds and oranges. And then this episode is super gray and very ashy. And, you know, I get it that it's supposed to be somber, but it's also a little, I don't know, bland?
You want your post-apocalyptic genocide to be cheerier?
Right. But just like every other episode in this season, it's... too big to be one thing. So it's like there's a lot of really good stuff. There's some weird stuff. But I think most of the stuff that was not great about this episode was stuff that was left over from other episodes. On its own, it's not bad. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Joanna Robbins.
Are you going to ask the crowd or just us?
Oh, I mean, what? I mean, I feel like if I ask the crowd before I ask you, your answer is going to be different than if I just ask you now.
That sounds like an accusation of pandering. I'm mixed positive. That's what we were saying earlier. Mixed positive. Like, you know, George R. R. Martin always said that the ending of his story was going to be bittersweet. We've heard that a million times. The first half is the bitter, and then they're like dosing you with sugar for the sweet. They're bring in Edmure Tully. He's hilarious.
Get him.
We'll roll it in the aisles. It'll be really fun. Sansa looks awesome.
How did you describe it? Last night it was like, bitter, sweet.
Yeah.
Bitter, sweet.
Yeah, but it's like a hard turn. You're like, oh, everything's bad. Tyrion's got a prison beard.
And then Edmure stands up.
And then Edmure stands up, and you're like,
nominate yourself, nominate yourself, nominate yourself. Yeah,
yeah. And we're like, oh, it's a fun time in a TV show. So yeah.
I've gotten more into it as we watched it more.
We've watched it a lot.
So I think
at least
the first
three times.
The first time, the weird thing about knowing or thinking that you know spoiler things is that like your first time watching through it is waiting for that first thing to happen where you could be like, now we're on the train tracks. Which I think for us was the golden hand in the rubble, where it's like, okay, if that happens, then we know
it's all happening. Yeah.
And so that was more like it was judging the execution, which was beautiful, but I couldn't separate it from my feelings, which were I kind of hoped that we didn't know everything, like right at the end.
I feel the opposite. Whoa.
This is weird.
Yeah.
All right. So
everyone I've talked to, you know, I made my pitch on the podcast last week that, you people who are still in the comms should come into the storm with us. If you've never listened to our podcast, it's two sections, comms, spoiler-free, storm, lots of spoilers, storm spoilers. And I, you know, I was processing the episodes, I think, a bit better than some people I knew who weren't spoiled. And so I encouraged people to come into the storm, and everyone who came to the storm was like, thank you. I needed to sit with King Bran for a second. So that when it happened, I was like, this is okay. We prepared for this. We have canned goods and bottled water. We can handle King Bran. It's fine. So, yeah.
All right. But as we got down to it, I think there's a lot of scenes which are both two-handers between actors, which is something that I really like, and amazing dragon polygons, which is something that I really like. So I think ultimately, like Game of Thrones will become known for, it's their penultimate episodes that make or break a season the majority of the time.
Ooh, that's bad news, bud.
Why is that?
The penultimate episode of the season was broken.
That's why I separated the questions.
All right.
So let's ask the audience. We're going to do individual episode. Who here, very pleased by Iron Throne, 10 out of 10?
That's so happy.
All right.
We're going to have to insert claps on this.
Well, no. Now I'm just wondering, like, do we drag it through the streets and go down to 9 and down to 8?
I feel
or do
like
I just jump and start from the
finish
bottom.
Finisher. Yeah.
All right, let's go 0 worst episode ever. Okay. All right. We got one proud worst
soul.
Episode ever. Middle of the ground.
5.
I don't know how the distribution's going to go on here. All right, let's do 7. Very good. And then we're going to go down to 3. All right.
I feel like the scale is too big for this.
Yeah. Nobody's favorite, one person's least favorite, which is interesting. You think you have recency bias, or do you think if I like showed you Unbound, I'd been broken again, I could change your mind? Maybe recency bias.
Uh-huh.
This is what happens when you don't wait like 72 hours and read the internet and then make a podcast. You got to figure out live. All right.
Do me a favor. Don't threaten any of our listeners with Unbound, Unbound, and Broken again. Like, we love them. We want to keep them. Don't tell them you're going to make them watch Unbound, Unbound, and Broken. No one should have to do
also,
that.
Also, we didn't bring it, so.
Yeah.
I always have it with me.
Let me just bring up my Unbound, Unbound, and Broken. Yeah. I don't know why I gave you like a Minority Report screen. You can just throw stuff.
Because you know that
that's
I
how
am...
it works in this theater. That
yeah,
is...
that's just Minority Report it right
classic.
Back up. All right, I mean, I feel like it's bad to do overall show like until the end, but this season, divisive season, I think we pinpointed last week that it's the increased efficiency of a television type of storytelling that has maybe brought us to where we are, but let's do a comparison for us, our three hosts. Season 7, season 8. Neil.
Why do I always have to go first?
And like,
I don't
what's
like
the
it.
Scale?
What's the scale?
Yeah.
All right. So,
which one's better?
Yeah, which one? Yeah.
Well, should we just rank like the seasons? At this
one
point?
Has a whole bunch of lead up, which leads you with potential, which makes you think that you saw things that are going to pay off, but has no payoff. And then the other one has a whole bunch of payoff, but to questions you didn't necessarily have, and then forgets some other things.
Remember when we thought Daenerys is pregnant?
Yeah, no, I do. They have this whole exchange where Jon's like, maybe you shouldn't believe the witch doctor. We're like, Jon Snow being smart.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's when we should have known.
That's when we should have known. Yeah, right, because Jon Snow's
dumb. It was a good thing Jon Snow did.
Just really dumb.
Remember we were really excited for the Golden Company?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Cersei was really excited for the Golden Company?
Remember how Cersei paid so much money for that?
Yeah.
Well, okay, Cersei, even if you just picked, like, I like Cersei as a character, then season 7 is your better season, period, right?
I mean, I don't think there's... Okay, season 7's a better season.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I just was trying to make it easy, but also on the scale.
I reserve the right
to change that
answer later.
I can't just be like, is the series good except for that one season, right?
Yes.
Yes.
What does our audience think?
All right, guys, was the series good except for that one season? Or was the whole series good?
Just say yes.
No. What question am I supposed to be polling? Like, did we like Game of Thrones? That seems.
How about because the season left a bad taste in some people's mouths.
Sure.
But they're still somehow here at a podcast about Game of Thrones.
I mean,
maybe ask, you know, today in the wake of the finale, in the wake of it all being over without a long time to process, but right now instinctually, are you down on the series or up on the series overall? Right? Because some people feel like
some downs.
And some downs. Because some people feel like if you can't stick the landing, then what the fuck was the point? And then some people say, no, the friends we made along the way.
Yeah. I've heard people say that.
Yeah. So
all right. I guess fair enough. I don't
That's the face he makes when he makes that sound.
Yeah, that's my thinking face. Because how critically sound is the ground that I'm standing on if I'm like, if you don't stick the landing, then what were you doing?
Are we doing a Lost rewatch podcast?
Yeah.
Lost is the landing.
Hi, Ben.
Yeah, we brought another debate into this Game of Thrones finale debate. Here we go. Oh, no, I mean, so like a lot of things, I think this episode showed a lot of people operating at their peak, and I don't want to penalize the show for being a TV show with the basis of a literary background just because they got, like, Danny goes crazy and then they had to figure the rest out, you know? Like, we know what Hodor means, we know Shireen burns, we know Danny goes crazy, like, figure out four seasons of television.
But here's $1 billion and many years to think on it.
I mean, as per usual, if I had $1 billion, I could make a lot of things happen if I had me some money. That's a whole
Everything sounds like a threat from you tonight.
It's the all black and the sinister facial hair. Should we see one of my favorite parts from the finale now?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Let's see our first clip, which is one of my favorite Polygon boys finally destroying the Iron Throne.
Spoilers.
Oh, yeah. Hey, this live show sounds pretty sweet. We're beaming in through time, three-eyed raven-like, to bring you a word about Postmates. We've been planning this live show from Joanna's home base here in San Francisco, and we're some hungry podcasters.
Yes.
And like, we've been so busy working on the show that we have not had a chance to go outside, go to the store. I'm not even sure I know where the store is. But the good news is I don't have to, because there's such a thing as Postmates. Postmates, your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever you can think of delivery, all year round, it'll come to your door. We really needed it this week.
So you could download the app for iOS or Android free, browse local restaurants and businesses, and track your delivery, or just do the ordering part and then remember you ordered food because you've been so busy watching the end of Game of Thrones.
Guys, I just received a raven. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for the first 7 days. Light of the 7 days, if you will. To start your free deliveries, download the app right now and use code SPOILERS. That's code SPOILERS for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Get anything you need, anytime you need it, download Postmates, and save with code SPOILERS.
Postmates! Let's time travel back.
For people who don't listen to our podcast, do you want to explain why we call VFX polygons?
Yeah, so when you're making a creature, basically you're putting a skin on a wireframe body that you're then texturizing, and that texturizing is made up of tiny little polygons or triangles with like little pyramid shapes, and the more of those that you have, the more you could make smooth curves and whatnot, versus like a square, which has six sides, or cube, sorry, square has four sides, duh.
Cool, alright. other question is, one I forgot to ask, is there anyone here who's never seen Game of Thrones? I know there's one.
What, really?
3 episodes count.
Oh, yeah, okay. See?
Okay.
That's some of Game of Thrones.
Anyone else? Okay.
Dude, we just spoiled
I'm
so
sorry.
Much.
I'm real sorry, AJ.
Yeah, I didn't even intro the clip in a friendly way. Like, Daenerys is dead, sorry.
She's like a main character.
Okay, good.
It's a whole thing.
So let's start there. We knew this moment was coming for Daenerys. She had some scenes where she could justify to us, the audience, before Jon and Tyrion got to try to further justify to us or the audience why she should die. Totalitarian Daenerys suddenly came back to the idea of breaking the wheel, which actually made me slightly more sympathetic, because my whole problem was with last week is we didn't have anything but that one shot pushing on Emilia Clarke to process the turn. Here at least she gets to justify herself. Was her justification ringing true enough to you to undo a little bit of the betrayal you could have felt last week?
I'm going to answer your question, but here's my favorite thing that happened on our third watch today, is when Daenerys goes up to Jon, she's like, you know, we can break the wheel, you and I. And he leans over, he's like, and they kind of do.
Yeah.
In a murdery, fiery.
She pays the price for it.
The Iron Throne price.
Yeah.
I did not find Daenerys's, you know, Nazi-esque shouting at a crowd to be a justification for what she did. I don't know that we are meant to. I think we're definitely meant to not agree with her in any way. That being said, Emilia Clarke did a good job, I thought, of playing, like, her own conviction that was rooted in a character I still recognized. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't feel like I didn't recognize that Daenerys. I could connect her to the hero, the person who, like, we make bobblehead dolls about and stuff like that. And women were like, yes! And then they're like, no! So, no, not justified, but I think, like, that was a tricky job she had to do to try to connect that Daenerys to the Daenerys that we know, and I feel like I saw it. What did you think, Neil?
Yes, I agree with that. But I also thought that they did a good job of two things with Jon, specifically sort of running him through it. Like, the speech with Tyrion is pretty good. And getting to the point where you believe, when Jon does it, that he believes that's the only option. And he's the only person that can do it. I think they do a good job of, especially like the scene where he walks up and Drogon lets him in. The show makes it very clear that no one else has a choice in the matter except for Jon.
Mm-hmm.
And when Daenerys says they don't get to choose, you know, your sisters don't get to choose, all these other lords don't get to choose. He can remember what Tyrion said, and Jon is the last one who gets to choose. And, you know, I still don't think he knows at the end, obviously, whether he did the right thing, but.
Ask him again in 10 years.
We'll ask somebody in 10 years.
Yeah, that's a very interesting meta contextual line about whether or not you could judge something that fast. So that was super fun to hear and then have to do a podcast after like 24 hours. So welcome to the wrong podcast where every opinion is wrong. I think that there's a lot more connection, both because she was giving a speech to people in their native language that we've heard her, you know, speak back in her more tyrannical days. But I think that, and then the Daenerys that's in the throne room that, you know, touches the throne and plays that, like, semi-madness, but then also, like, what she did got her there. I think that really helped bridging the gap, only because I really do feel like it's a gap that once Daenerys got to Dragonstone, she was listening to other people, and she was falling in love with Jon, and we didn't really have anything except maybe the Tarly situation to remember that she said things like they could live in the new world or die in the old world, or that she's, you know, threatened to kill thousands of people if they don't do what she wants. There's just a couple too many, like, real-life years in between those things, and then the finale for me. So that throne room scene bridged the gap. Then Jon Snow gives her the old Electra special with a side of the heart. Spoilers for Daredevil.
Can we talk about the dragon for a second?
Yes.
Since I'm a cat person. There are some things that I didn't realize before doing a deeper dive into the season that I was talking to these guys earlier about how, like, Drogon feels very real to me, and I am deeply skeptical of CG, like, creatures in general, but you, like, the weight of Drogon, and part of that, you've heard us talk about Paul, if you listen to this podcast, you've heard us talk about Paula Fairfield, who's the sound for the dragons, and she's talked about how one of the important sound things that she had to do was not just like the roar of a dragon. Like if I were doing a dragon sound, I'm like, dragons roar? And then maybe some crackling fire? But she's like, no, you have to do like all the spines, all the scales moving against each other, talons, like all of that sort of thing. And so that makes the dragon feel especially real to me. What from a, you know, visual perspective, like why this scene? Why is this your scene?
I like this scene not only because I'm a fan of the season 8 Drogon CGI model in general. I think he finally looks good and to proportion, and I like his rows of teeth, and I like how they can make him emote without having to have like cheek muscles, which is like tough to do in like CGI design. But specifically this, you know, like how all the movie posters are all like orange on one side and blue on one side, and they're like faces. It's really hard to do that orange-blue contrast well, and I don't think look like you're doing it cheaply. And when he's lighting up the throne, it curves from black to blue up to orange and into the flame around the Red Keep, like breaking. And I just think that's a great shot of the dragon.
Awesome.
It's good polygons.
I never we're know what polygons. You're talking about, but I want to. no, I'm serious. Like, you said that when we were watching it, you're like, the black to blue to orange. And I was like, I don't see it. But I think, but I believe you that that's why it looks real to me. Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's as much. The dragons are also nice because unlike something like ghosts, their character models, if you look back at the first season, end of first season, perched on Danny's shoulder, the skeletal structure is all different. They look weird. They look fragile and weak. So they've really managed to develop the look of the dragons, not logically, but through character. Like, for some reason, I believe, because of the interactions this season with Drogon and Rhaegal, that the dragons are like these deadly weapons of mass destruction from a distance, but when you like come up to them, they're like not eating enough, and you could just climb on, and if they like you, and like it's also a pet.
Yeah, they're cats.
And then also, I guess they're really smart because Drogon's like, well, you stab my mom. I gotta solve all the problems.
Some say dragons are smarter than men.
Are you book quoting me?
Kinda.
I agree with you. I think they perfected Drogon this season. All they had to do was snip two other dragons out of the budget. Snip, snip.
I mean, at least also, you know that there had to be, like, some poor special effects guys that had to, like, wait for everybody for 2 weeks. So it was like, he sent ghosts north of the Wall of Torment, didn't even pet him. And these guys are just like, I'm rendering this right now. Like, could you just hold your horses and pay attention to the characters in the story and not where the dog is? He's gonna pet the dog. He's gonna live with the dog. Keep your eye on the ball, fans.
One of those VFX guys actually told someone, I think, with the Washington Post, he was like, there's extensive padding and petting. I promise. He said that like a couple weeks ago, like he was tired of people complaining. And Dave's response to this was like, oh good, we broke him.
Okay. Just have to do it for long enough.
Yeah.
You just have to tell people Robin Aaron's in the finale for long enough, and you manifest your dreams. Like a certain three-eyed raven, Boy King, who apparently knew that everybody was going to be slaughtered for a very long time, because he knows when he should be rolled down to King's Landing or not.
Yeah, but since when is that guy, like, not throwing everyone in front of danger?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Bran has a history, is
remember,
what I'm saying.
Remember Mira?
Yeah.
Remember Jojen?
No one remember Hodor? Yeah.
I wasn't going to do
Bran
it.
Bran sucks.
King Bran sucks.
That's his new title.
So speaking of King Bran, this is going to lead us into another clip. Joanna, why don't you set up this clip? Because there's a reason we're showing this particular one.
I just liked, you know, a promise that we got, a threat almost was like, things you forgot about are coming back. And it's like hilarious to us because when we saw this scene, which is sort of the election of King Bran, we didn't forget about any of those characters. We've been asking where Edmure was. We've been waiting for Robin Aaron, the Dornish prince who was promised, all of that. So
Alan Reed, obviously.
Alan Reed, obviously, definitely obviously, confirmed 100%. Definitely in there. So.
We talked to Weiss and Benioff this morning.
Yeah.
They said, for sure, it's Alan Reed.
That was Alan Reed. Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to tell you anything else about the episode, the finale episode, except that was Alan Reed's big...
Also, then we hung up on them immediately. Just so you guys know.
So let's watch the election of King Bran and then talk about the people who are there.
You know we love Game of Thrones when it was a TV show, but now we've experienced it in a new way with Comixology, Amazon's digital comics service. They have Game of Thrones comics and a whole bunch more. Guys, this service is amazing. Comixology is an app for your smart devices, and they have a website too. Here's how it works. You buy from their selection of over 100,000 comics, graphic novels, and manga, or join their Comixology Unlimited Reading Service. Read as much as you want from over 20,000 titles, including Game of Thrones. They seriously have every genre imaginable. Sci-fi and superheroes, of course, but also crime, noir, horror, more independent comics. Definitely gotta love it. And we love their cinematic reading mode called Guided View. It zooms in on the panels for you. You don't need to pinch or zoom on smaller devices, and it'll take you panel by panel through the story. Joanna, we used to do a podcast called The Thought Bubble about comics, and I know we love comics. Do you use Comixology?
That is when I started using Comixology. Years ago, when we had the Thought Bubble podcast, I wanted a way to read all the comics I could, all the time, without having a huge stack of books in my room and constantly going back to the comic store. Comixology makes it easy to download the comics to your tablet, and then you just sort of swipe through the book. You get through the books so quickly. I read all of Neil Gaiman's Sandman, all of it, like, in a week, on thanks to Comixology. And it's got the way your comics are organized. You can view them by series, by alphabet. You can share them. It's just like an amazing service in terms of finding comics, organizing comics, and reading comics easily. It turned me into a huge comics reader when before I couldn't be bothered.
Guys, I've got another raven. We think you're going to love Comixology, and right now, you can try Comixology Unlimited free for 30 days. Just go to Comixology.com/storm to get started. That's Comixology.com/storm. Don't wait. Comixology/storm.
Back to the Vogue Theater!
Oh, sorry.
So we all saw how Rob and Aaron took a second to, like, really weigh the options, right? Just to talking about responsibility here.
He wanted to make sure the camera was on him. You saw his full outfit.
Well, of all the actors that I'm sure each gave their little bit, Robin, Aaron, and Davos got their bit in the scene. So congratulations, boys.
Yeah, here's my question. Dorne was independent for a very long time. And I'm really curious why the Dornish person was like, excuse me. what about Dorne? I don't know.
I do like how Sansa, and she's great in this, and she really does it for the North. But I like how she's like, the North saved you guys, and none of you were there. And I don't remember anyone else being there. The North did it.
Yeah, Jon Rice was there, allegedly. I didn't see him in the episode, but he was there
stories.
At the funeral the next day. He had thrown some dirt on his breastplate, and he was like, whoa, guys, that was crazy. Did you see that?
There was, like, this cloud came over, and there were, like, dead people, and then, like, the littlest Mormont, like, killed a giant. It was crazy, guys.
Did I see a fire witch show up?
Anyway,
like...
half my troops are gone. Jon Rice.
He was the first one to get the crypt door open, though.
That's
from
true.
The other side.
Aren't we the, isn't he the leader for our, masters, whispers on Brad's new council?
Oh, yeah.
He likes all that hot gossip.
They need a messy bitch who loves drama, Jon Rice.
What do they need? Master.
I mean, Bran's clairvoyant, so he doesn't need a Master of Whispers, but, like, that breastplate, you want that breastplate at every meeting. Why wouldn't you have it at every single meeting?
Yeah, it pushes the table away from the chair just by itself.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm glad you guys all laughed at my very favorite line of this episode, which is, why do you think I came all this way? I don't know why. Every time I hear it, it's funnier.
I like how you get, especially for somebody who, like, went north stayed there for a while and then went south, and his whole thing was traveling all that way.
Why do you think Mira Reed gave herself permanent damage dragging me all this way?
Not one mention of Mira Reed.
No.
Why isn't she on the council? She did it. Yeah. Halen was there, but why wasn't Mira on the small council? That's my question.
She could be what's the other part?
Well, you need a master of laws and a master of war.
Ooh. Mira, master of war. She killed a White Walker with a spear. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Done.
I mean, fine.
Plus, she's Jon Snow's twin sister, so.
That's why the show had to get rid of her.
I actually really, the only reason I picked that clip was because I wanted Dave to yell about Robin Aaron, so.
Oh, you just didn't know that was going to come. Okay. Robin Aaron!
That's the real reason why I picked that clip. So.
In terms of medieval politics, I don't know how this works, but do prisoners usually call elections for new kings?
I think usually when you're the general of the army that's controlling the city, you're like, oh, sure what he said. Yeah. Oh, all you people who hate me? Yeah, you pick the next king.
It's all a joke on Grey Worm. It's all a joke on Grey Worm, and he didn't understand that Bran the Broken was like, Tyrion was taking the joke too far, and everyone's like, poof. And they're like, oh, Grey Worm's still paying attention. No, Bran, King Bran.
Yeah, I think Grey Worm was done really dirty in this episode. Like, really, really dirty. He was why did you make him the villain for the rest of the series?
And then he took all the Dothraki to islands.
And then he went to Noth where there's carnivorous butterflies. So.
Oh yeah, tell me about these flesh-eating butterflies real quick.
They eat your flesh.
They're also very big.
So like, you know, Missandei's like, oh yes, Noth, we have beautiful butterflies. I'm like, Missandei, you bitch.
The carnivorous butterflies.
We don't tell the white people about the carnivorous butterflies.
All right. Do we have any other... Do we need somebody to be another small council member before we move on to our next clip?
We need a master of war.
Master of war. Hot pie.
I mean, get a hot pie goodbye.
He did a hot pie goodbye. Ooh, Nymeria. Yeah. That would be an interesting master of war. Bring Gendry down. You can meet more women in King's Landing.
He's recently single, yeah.
Yeah, he's really single.
But did you see his new, Stormlord?
I mean, he's not going to have to be single for long. Everybody in that council who was younger than Tyrion, I guess? Fairly attractive.
Yeah. Gendry's the new lord of the best castle we never saw on the show.
Yeah, Storm's for all we know, it's the most opulent.
Oh, no, it's
castle.
Definitely the coolest one.
Okay, we need to talk about the small council really quickly because we're not going to talk about small council in the last clip we're showing. So I need to have a moment to talk to all of you about my feelings about Bronn and how he survived everything. Got Highgarden, Lady Olenna's fucking castle, and is master of coin. And I hate it. So, that's all I wanted to say.
I feel like they could have swapped out a whole bunch of those characters and let Bronn die pushing Jaime out of the way of Drogon.
Yeah, Bronn should have died last season. The end.
The end.
I do like how the show, its new version of subversion, is by having characters do like a weird flex and then live, which is not what we expect. So it's like Grey Worm's like, yeah, this is going to be fine. And then he lives through the battle. And then she dies in a dumb way.
Yeah.
And then Bronn.
And Bronn's like...
The whole Bronn thing.
Bronn's like, I'm going to live through the war.
Yeah,
so I'll see you at the end of the war. Which is
and he's like, and he did. And give him my money, please.
Could you swap out Illyn Payne for Bronn?
For what?
What?
I don't know. Isn't that why he rose in prominence in the show in the first place? Because the actor who played Illyn Payne got diagnosed with cancer, and now that cancer's cleared up. Could you have brought Illyn Payne back?
Bring him back.
Would his character just...
Yeah, he retired from chopping off heads. He lives in a small shack down the street from Davos' wife.
Yeah, Mariah Seaworth.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They swap scone recipes. Yeah.
He's very proud of his cousin, Podrick.
Yeah.
Who is now on the Kingsguard.
Yeah.
No.
So the Raven Kingsguard.
Okay, so we're fine. Just no Bronn. Just...
Yeah.
He should have died last year.
Good.
We covered that.
Okay, good. Fair. I was just wondering if you had an inexorable place. Otherwise, it's a small council... Yeah, they're gonna build some more ships. They're gonna repair the brothels.
Slowly.
Slowly. Everybody, I don't know. I did I? No, I don't know. I don't want to pursue that thought. That's how that looks on the live as it happens. All right, let's move on to clip number three. Keep things moving. So this is just a feel good clip of this is our time for wolves montage. These are our heroes at the end. Is there anything we want to point out? Because I'm realizing now that before my clip, I was like, here's a good boy Drogon, not is this snow or ash? You guys need to look at this.
Yeah, okay, quick poll. Is it snow or ash? Okay, so is that snow raining down on King's Landing?
I like it.
Is that actually ash raining down on King's Landing? I think
don't know.
They have fewer people, but they're more committed, so
feels,
still feels like a win.
Still feels
that's,
pretty
that's how we win these votes,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, zealotry. Thanks, guys.
All right, so we're gonna watch the conclusion of the show. Is there anything we should be watching for? I know, Joanna, you and I have debated about John's last look already.
Yeah, John's last look. What do you guys think it means? Think about that as you watch it. Think about how many people you'd kill to get your hands on Sansa's dress.
Is there actually a fire behind Sansa when she's being coronated? No. It's just orange light. Check it out.
You're watching that shot, and Neil's like, why does it look so weird? Why does it look so weird? And Dave's like, there's no fire there.
It's just orange lights and aluminum foil swords. No, I'm sure they're real metal swords. They're just not the most noticeable swords.
So that's Dave ruining your triumphant moment.
Mm-hmm, good. Now that I've pre-ruined it for you, let's look
at
the shitty swords.
I hope it's not creepy to say that I like listening to you guys watch that because I heard this like whispered susurrus of like a dream of spring, a dream of spring, a dream of spring.
It's the spring. Did you see the green? It's the dream of spring.
See the green? It's the dream of spring.
Book reference.
So Dave and I had a spirited debate about what John's look over his shoulder meant. So I guess let's poll the audience again.
Sure. You choose the choices to poll this time. You've been having a better go at it.
Is John leaving for good, or is John just like helping the wildlings and he'll BRB to the wall? So, leaving for good, BRB. So leaving for good. JK BRB.
Listen to those reasonable people. Cause here's the thing. If he's gone for good, someone's real dumb for letting the last Targaryen with, like, a claim to the throne go north just to do whatever he wants. Maybe he has some kids. Maybe he becomes the new Mance Rayder and leads them back down against the wall. You don't know what that guy does. He just stabbed his aunt.
Is this your Mad John theory?
He broods.
Oh, yeah.
He grows his curls. He cuts his curls. It's a cycle.
I mean, that's what we know because we spent time with the boy. I'm just saying, like, it makes as much sense to me as a prisoner calling for a vote for a new king that you just let the guy who, you know, committed regicide just, oh, go. You like those people more anyway. Man, your dog's up there. That's a punishment for you.
Oh, no. John gets a happy ending, which is complicated. All right. So one thing I noticed on this, our 900th time watching that scene, that I should have noticed on the fourth, I guess, is in the final shot, all of them have something very wolfy associated with them. That's a does statement, right? But like Sansa has her crown, and then Arya has the sail on her ship, and then you got the palm. I mean, you got Ghost, obviously, but you got the pommel on Longclaw as Jon is ranging north, and it's like in kind of like in rapid succession, you get crown, sail, pommel. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so like the wolves are everywhere. I was wondering when did she pack Theon's face into her bag? In that earlier first scene. Did she not bring her bag of faces?
What if the sequel to Game of Thrones is like 10 years later, Jon's in the north, Drogon shows up and can talk now. And Drogon's like,
John!
He's like, John,
I have news!
He's like, John, we have to go get
Arya.
We have to go get Arya. Yeah. She is killing everyone in the West.
John, Hawkeye's become Ronin. You have to go stop him. No. Get the Infinity Stones through time travel.
In this 10 years from now, we have to go back sequel.
Yeah.
Does Drogon also say, P.S. Daenerys, totally alive.
Totally alive.
Yeah.
100% alive.
Great. Also, I've been laying dragon eggs.
I have 100 children.
All over. Yeah. All right.
They're
all right.
Giants. I am also female.
Yeah. Both. Don't put a label on it.
Drogon is non-binary. Nope.
Mm, yep. You're both Godzillian and Reign of Firing it, so I'm kind of on your side, but also dumb.
Awesome.
But yeah, everybody getting happy ending feels right in the moment, but then also feels like a different story.
No, everyone doesn't get a happy ending, though, because Daenerys,
they
I don't know if you missed
endings.
It, got skewered in the throne room.
Okay, the Starks who...
got away from their parents.
Yes.
Early.
Yes.
Which is the trend.
And Tyrion, who made mistake after mistake after mistake, is punished with his favorite job in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Okay, fair. I have no defense for any of that. As a question before we move on to the more interactive parts, who did Varys send the letters to about Jon being the true heir?
The Dornish prince, Howland Reed.
And Howland Reed's like, I knew that.
Yeah.
This is old news.
Listen, buddy, if that could have stopped anything, I would have saved you like a long time.
I could have told you this before the rebellion. But I didn't.
But I didn't.
I did.
Now I only have one child. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I guess we should feel bad
but
about Jojen.
On the good side, his other child did drag Bran around for a long time.
Yeah.
And then
and Bran
left
might not remember her now, but everybody saw her do it. So if she rides up to King's Landing and demands her whatever, you know, maybe Mira Reed's
Bran's gonna be
play.
Like, who are you?
Oh, yeah, you're right. I guess that's
I don't know her.
Point.
I don't know. Mira.
Of the stories that were important, it was his story, not the her stories.
Aww.
Oh, come on. I just wanted to make a pun.
Except for the Queen in the North.
What?
Except for the Queen in the North.
I just, in terms of the, I didn't bring it up when we watched the Tyrion scene, but stories are most important from within a television show argument work for you guys this time?
What a thing for writers to write. You know what matters most? What we do.
Yeah. The guy who's giving the speech isn't even going to be in the history you guys write, even though he called for the election of the new king.
Even though he murdered Tywin Lannister and was accused of murdering the king at one point.
Mm-hmm.
No mention.
None
of that.
Left him out.
All right, so I think we're going...
Is it games time?
It's time for games. Games of Game of Thrones. So we have some games. I'm going to pass this over to Joanne, who's going to explain the rules. These games are going to involve prizes for the people who play and successfully win.
We want to give a special shout-out thanks also to Chronicle Books, who sent us a heaping, helping box full of beautiful Game of Thrones products, pins, tarot cards, coloring books that we were able to give away to our live audience. Just great, great stuff, beautiful stuff, and we want to thank them so much for, I guess, listening to the pod and supporting the pod. It was really, really kind of them, so thanks, Chronicle Books.
Dope pins, Chronicle.
Here's what we have. A stack of prizes. My need for competition. And all of you, what could be better? We've got a couple games. The first one is going to pit you against our maester, Neil. We need...
It's going to be a fight.
We need three volunteers.
Trial by combat.
All in back. You want to come down right there in the middle? If you want
to
come
this,
down,
you
want
to come to this side? To Diana?
Yeah. Come down.
Come find Diana.
Come find Diana. And I need a third. Right on the aisle there. All right. So thank you for volunteering before you know what you have to do. I appreciate your enthusiasm.
It's not going to be a fight.
We're calling this game
Who said that? It's a quote game from...
Wait, what was it called?
Who said that?
Who said that?
Who said that?
No, who said that?
Okay.
Okay.
So we've got some quotes that we're going to dynamically read for you. Best out of three. We're going to have three matches.
Each. You each get three shots at the champ.
Shots at the champ right here.
You get to go first.
You get to go first, best out of three. If you can't get it, you can pass, and Neil has a chance to scoop it up.
Yeah.
So I will be reading your quotes. Dave will be reading Neil's quotes. We're going to start. Which one should I start?
Oh, these are quotes from the show, by the way.
Oh, yeah. From the TV series Game of Thrones.
Historical quotes.
This is something I said earlier today, and I don't know if I can make it make sense to you, but we were trying to figure out, like, are these questions too hard? And I was like, I can't see color. Like, I don't know what's hard about Game of Thrones anymore, because... this one? Or this
top one?
Top one. All right. No one mind me. All I've ever done is live to a ripe old age. No
really
one mind me.
I just want to see Neil's beard up close before it goes away. okay. Don't mind me. I've just been living.
No one mind me. All I've done is live to a ripe old age. That was a little too far.
These are your accurate ones here.
No shame in a pass.
I'm going to pass.
This Sir Davos. Seaworth.
God damn it. All right.
That's true.
We're on like your side, twin. By the way.
Yeah, no, I'm going to make this harder for Neil by trying to not do an impression of the person. So here we go. Neil.
Yes.
Oh, wait. I just realized I don't care. That's the full quote from Game of Thrones.
Do you need to hear it again?
Oh, wait. I just realized I don't care. I don't know where that came from. I've never done that accent before in my life.
It's the me, I'm audio.
I got it.
Sansa?
That is correctly Sansa Stark. Neil...
Won that round, right?
Neil just
you're gonna win. You get a prize anyway.
Thank you for competing with Neil.
Thank you for
go get the Lost to Neil prize.
I'm trying not to win. My mind won't let me.
It's my accent gave it away. That was a Sansa accent.
maybe I'm a hindrance here. Okay. Hello. Thank you for playing. Hi. The more people you love, the weaker you are. The more people you love, the weaker you are. We picked hard ones. Sorry.
I have always heard. Yeah.
If Neil gets this one right, then we'll beat Neil real bad.
I'm just
going
to make a guess.
Yeah. It is Cersei Lannister.
Hell yeah. Thank you. Wait, hold on. You got one more.
Wait, you got to win one more. Wait.
you'll get your prize. Don't worry. You might get to beat Neil.
Should be very embarrassing at this point.
All right, Neil.
Yes.
we're doing Italian Scandinavian, that's right. Some people will always need help, but that doesn't mean they're not worth the helping.
All right. This is Tyrion.
Not.
Incorrect.
No.
Do you want to try to see?
Do you want to guess?
I'll do it. It won't be more helpful. Some people always need help. That doesn't mean they're not worth helping.
Oh, now I know. Damn it.
Too late.
Is it Tyrion?
It's not Tyrion.
Is it Mira?
It is Mira.
Teamwork.
Team audience. I say she wins.
All right. Good.
All right, go get your prize.
Mira Reed.
Mira Reed.
I don't know if you know, but she dragged King Bran all around the restaurant.
I knew it was someone talking about Bran. I just couldn't remember who.
Which one?
Whichever one you want.
So would mine, but fuck them. They're dead.
One more time.
So would mine, but fuck them. They're dead.
So would mine, but fuck them. They're dead.
Thank you, Dave. That was very helpful.
Yeah, that's.
I'm gonna go with Bronn.
Not Bronn.
Is it the Hound?
Not the Hound.
Oh, shit.
Ooh. Go for it. Do the big reveal.
It's Khaleesi the Wildling, obviously.
Oh, in the council room to the Fen.
All right. Neil.
Okay.
Oh, the gods won't mind. They spill more blood than the rest of us combined.
This is Jaime Lannister.
That might have been swing and a miss. Okay.
Nothing is more hateful than failing to protect the one you love.
That does sound like Jaime.
I mean, I'm going to give you partial credit because it's Brienne of Tarth and they're like united.
Yeah, the thing.
So you get a prize.
Yeah. Defeated three times.
All right. We need how many more volunteers? Five, right?
Five, I think.
How many more prizes do we have?
I mean, like four
and or five. Right there. He is. Right there. Right there. The people pointing at you. You have support. In the middle towards the back. Yeah. Nailed it.
All right, as you guys are walking up, I'll explain to you what you will be doing. We will be giving you three sets of house words. One is made up. Tell us which one.
Do we each get to read one?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's two lies and a truth. Two lies and a truth.
House Words edition.
Unbelievably, two of these
are real.
Two truths and a lie. Okay, that's what the actual game
is
called.
This game's called Whose House?
Yeah, let's go. Whose House?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
All right, first round. Number. Who wants to go first? You guys. Somebody has to step up here. There you go.
All right.
Yeah, we got a brand one. The first house word, and at the end, tell us which one you think is Bronn. A Lannister always pays his debts.
Growing strong.
Stand together.
A Lannister always pays his debts.
Nailed it.
There
easy.
You go.
Get your prize.
Proceed to the prize podium.
It's an unofficial.
Contestant house number word. Two, step up. Your three are here we stand.
Unbowed, unbent, unbroken.
Swift as justice.
I know Unbowed, Unbent, Unbroken is the real one, but I really hate that episode. the third one, Swift as Justice.
That is correct.
Swift as Justice.
We're not as good as making up fake words, we are as picking quotes.
Really good.
Yeah, we're like, this is the game.
Like, what's like an arrow?
I like that.
This is really fun, actually. Try it, like, just either get a hat and throw random words in it, or just sit in the traffic, San Francisco traffic, and be like, okay, we need a this kind of word. All right. I'm going to go first.
Okay.
Ours is the Fury.
Our roots are deep.
Our blades are sharp.
Our blades are sharp.
No.
That is
real.
That is House Bolton. So maybe we should have all seen this coming. But guess what? You still get a prize.
The incorrect answer was our roots are deep.
Our roots are deep.
All right. Next contestant.
Oh, yeah.
Even higher.
High as honor.
Highest flame.
Even higher. That is a real house phrase.
I forget what house it was. What house was it?
I don't know, but they're even higher.
They're even higher.
We're even higher.
Screw you guys. Highest flame.
Highest flame.
Is made up.
We made that one up.
But thank you very much.
Please do get your prize.
Your prize podium. Are we here?
Is that it? Are we cleared up?
All right.
All right, we're cleared out. We're good.
Well, we thought it mattered and thought the music mattered. Yeah. But does it, bollocks?
Not compared
to our people matters. Time to tump thump and do some small counter games. So if you guys are aware of...
I can explain this while you're doing whatever it is happening here that I am not doing. So every week...
Important update. I just got a text from someone who works on Game of Thrones. They say it's Ash and Snow.
Never have
tonight,
I been so mad about everyone winning.
Justice wins, everybody wins.
All right, so for those of you unaware of the song Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba, there's a verse that says you take a whiskey drink, you take a vodka drink, you take a lager drink, and you take a cider drink. So Joanna and I are going to do shots of those in that order and then try to read as small council names as fast as possible. And if you donate to our Patreon. If you donate to our Patreon at patreon.com/storylist, the small council level, we will read your name once per quarter. There are a lot more of you now, so that's still going on, even past Game of Thrones into the Lost Cast. We love all of you, and we're going to try to not butcher your names, but also you got to do.
And we're going to time it and see who can do it faster.
So you could do their name
but
fastest.
But also accurately.
So yeah, we've decided to call this the tub thump. Like doing a tub thump. So.
My immediate answer was no. They were like,
yeah,
we're going to do the time.
Like,
no,
I will time you.
Absolutely not. I'm not throwing up in front of 200 people.
All right. So we got, this is the whiskey. Shall we start out? All right, here we go.
He drinks a whiskey drink.
That's pretty sweet. Yep, sweet. That was the right word. All right, we got vodka, which I don't like, so we're going to have lager on deck really quick. The vodka's better than the whiskey. We start off way hard.
I don't know which.
Lager. Cider, mate. Oh.
It's fine. This is fine.
Don't
Barrack Dondarrion me.
By the way, the lager is Budweiser.
Oh. Which technically is
a lager.
Technically a lager. It smells like
whiskey. Wait.
Smell whiskey?
Yeah.
Cheers.
Oh, cheers. To tub thumping. All right, what's the shit?
All right, wait, hold on. I got to tell you, you can start.
Oh, great.
Are you ready? Do you have the names?
All right, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Okay, do you have your pronunciation guide?
And I got to do this. And then by do this, I mean I'm going to butcher a lot of them. Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
312?
I'm doing line 312.
Got it.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Go.
Thank you very much, Nate Castillo, David Moran, AJ Cabage, Del Martinez, Steph Deal, Liz Bisline, Josh Brown, Rachel Rawlings, Jeff Ruberg, oh my god, you give me people that are here, Benjamin Jacoby, Hope Shock, Reginator Cakes, Elise Abschutz, Gustavo Villarreal, DJ Empirical, Aubrey Aaron, Nathaniel Steyer, Phil Jackie, Jessica Lairs, oh god, this is the one I always get wrong. He invites you to take your best shot. Great pronunciation guide. Sarir Sigfason, Manu Mishna, Sean Cosme, Megan McLeod, David Koplos, Eve Fontila, Ryan Silverstein, Lily Lim, Derek Duck, Vince Lewis, Russell Griffin. Oh, God, that's really bad. Tell something.
45.62 seconds.
45 seconds.
We don't know what that means yet.
What number?
I went down through 312.
All right. You ready?
Ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, go.
Philip Dirt, Melanie Rodriguez, Sarah Carmichael, Wade McFarlane, Spencer Howard, Wong Lee, Michael Sample, Camelia Urbina, Richard Teverson, Megan McKenna, Lindsay Giuliano, Jenna Mandel, Chris Ernst, Maeve, Rosa Peretta, Marky Idea, Elaine Salmon, Daniel Coughlin, Samantha Finnegan, Ashish Shredharan, Sam Luna, Brandon Brobst, Kayla Sargent, Annie A.K., Stephanie Breisch, Bach, Becky McMorrow, Jake Gunn, Matt Campbell, Fallon Tomzek, and Bronwyn Beck. Thank you guys so much. Oh, Chris and Kim, Jesse Clayton, Emma Bride, Rebecca Castle, and Aaron.
Did you just do like new what? New
Patriots? I don't know. There was this at the bottom.
Oh, look, they're little new Patriots.
Yeah. How'd I do?
39 seconds, 40. Yeah, good job.
And I'm sorry if I mispronounce your name.
Can you give me another vodka drink?
Yep.
Turns out I thought I was bad at vodka, but maybe I'm not.
Guys, Tough Thumb is pretty easy.
Yeah, guys. Tough Thumb, when it's just the shot level, definitely.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
We still have a lot of show to go. It's not true.
All right, I think we're going to close out the broadcast portion and move into the Q&A just for you guys. So for the guys, people who are listening, Neil, tell people where they could find you until we're back on the island.
Oh.
Sorry. We usually cut that part out.
Yeah, it's been so hard for you sitting there drinking any of
that. That tough thumping was real hard on Neil.
Just the smell
Poor
of the
Neil.
Vodka. The end. You can get me over at filmschoolrejects.com.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool website. On Twitter at rejects and at one perfect shot. Don't forget, if you have any questions and you're not here, you can email us, stormspoilers@gmail.com.
And Miss Joanna Robinson.
You can find me at VanityFair.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Joe Wrote This. You can hear me on the Little Gold Men podcast, on Still Watching, which we are going to be doing Big Little Lies in a couple of weeks, so I'm really excited about. Those are all my podcasts, right?
Is that the show about magicians?
Yeah. Watch it.
Is there an island?
We have to go back.
We have to go back. And I'm Dave Gonzalez. You can find me on Twitter at DA7E. You can find me on the Fighting in the War Room podcast at Polygon.com and Thrillist.com. And for you who are listening at home, we're sad you couldn't be here, but you're probably sitting and you haven't fallen down.